Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to your one-stop shop for horror news, true crime, and real-life tales of the unexplained. Monsters at Midnight, The Revenge. Episodes of Monsters upload on a bi-weekly format every other Tuesday. I'm your host, your favorite escaped madman loose on the airwaves, terrorizing your eardrums, Matt Schaefer. Today we're going to be covering the tales of a very specific boogeyman, the Baba Yaga, John Wick. So, lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn out the lights. Monsters at Midnight, The Motherfucking Revenge rides again. Apologies in advance if this is not the hot, spooky content you crave when listening to this show. We'll be back on brand next time. Also, off script, I am hungover, and it is 8,000 degrees in my apartment because it's like a brick apartment and it just traps the nice weather that we've been having. So I'm really going to try my best and keep this as lively as possible. Bear with me. I was admittedly sort of late to the party on the John Wick hype. I saw the first film maybe a year after it came out and loved it. Since then, I've revisited it a couple of times and always enjoyed it, but it always fell through the cracks whenever I thought about my favorite action films. It was never first on my lips whenever I mentioned movies like Die Hard, Face Off, and Casino Royale. However, after finally catching up on the series and seeing Chapter 4, I'm delighted to say this is one of my favorite series of action films. The hyper-violent ballet of gun-fu that Keanu, Chad Stahelski, and company have cooked up for damn near 10 years now is absolutely intoxicating, and I'm going to review the entire series, throwing up a potential spoiler warning for every John Wick entry, so if you're an action fan and haven't checked these out, get on that shit. John Wick is ultimately successful because it's greater than the sum of its parts. Spelling out the plot of the first film truly exposes that it's about as straightforward of a revenge film as they come. The brilliance lies in the neo-noir assassin underworld the film develops and the absolutely killer stunt choreography it unleashed on an unexpected audience. The film opens with the death of John Wick's wife. Film Noir 101. Shortly after, a parting gift in the form of a puppy named Daisy arrives on Wick's doorstep. This is where I need to bring up the unfortunate business that I'm not the biggest fan of Keanu Reeves, the actor. Stay with me here. He seems like a genuinely wonderful human being, and his commitment to learning gun tactics and martial arts for this movie is absolutely awe-inspiring. However, I never buy him as anyone other than Keanu Reeves. He delivers every line with the same sunburnt surfer drawl he has for the past 30 years, excluding the opening act of John Wick. Reeves does a phenomenal job of emoting the deep pain this character is feeling. A final goodbye from his wife in a card sent with the dog moves him to tears, and I'll be damned if you don't feel it, thus making the darkness that re-enters his life all the more tragic. See, a Russian punk named Yosef has taken a liking to his car, and Yosef gets what he wants. Him and his goons break into Wick's idyllic house, beat him up, kill Daisy, and steal the car. Saying it all out loud trivializes what is an absolutely powerful opening. As I said, this is revenge movie storytelling for beginners. It's the way every scene moves into the next, the slow, methodical loneliness of Wick's life, the coldness of a house that once had love and life in it. Everything from the actor's performances to the music and lighting reflect how devastating this is to Wick, and just how angry one man can get. Yosef is the son of Vigo Tarasov, a powerful Russian mobster, and one that Wick used to work for as an assassin. Vigo gave Wick a way out of the life, and with everything he loved taken from him, the boogeyman is back to settle the score. And then some. The seeds of mysticism are planted early in the series, with Vigo warning his son as if he's telling him some sort of scary bedtime story about the man he's wronged. This heightens the storytelling to an almost supernatural level, with Wick embodying this dark force of nature that is going to rain all sorts of hellfire upon their business and family. Vigo helps to try and stop it, sure, but as he sings a Russian lullaby over a brandy, you can see in his eyes a man that knows he's fucked. Once John Wick picks up momentum, it never stops going. A breakneck thrill ride that literally breaks necks and splatters brains. It feels foolish to even talk about the fight choreography when we could be fucking watching it right now. The blend of hand-to-hand jiu-jitsu and close-quarters gunplay is unparalleled, even giving the works of John Woo a run for their money. And all the set pieces become perfect playgrounds for all of this to come to fruition. The invasion at Wick's home, the Russian safe house, the dry docks, and the Red Circle Club. My god, the Red Circle Club. Every single amazing thing about John Wick's style of action is on display to its fullest capacity in the Red Circle Club sequence. Mercifully, shaky cam editing for action was on its way out in 2014, but whatever dying breath it had is choked out, followed by two rounds to the head. The lighting and cinematography gloriously showcase every delightful bit of violent splendor the sequence has to offer. Coupled with the intensity of the music that La Castlevania lends to the soundtrack, John Wick becomes one of the best video game movies not based on a video game. Okay, so great action. Check. But what of our characters and the actors to portray them? Absolutely delightful. Most every great character actor from the past decade is on display here in wonderfully colorful roles. This movie is so packed that I always forget that John Leguizamo is in it until he's on screen. Ian McShane and Lance Reddick are wonderful as members of the Continental Hotel, and Willem Dafoe manages to have great chemistry with Reeves' very stoic Wick. Michael Nyquist is a wonderfully memorable villain, but is outshined by Alfie Allen as his absolute shit stain of a son. Perfectly detestable. The great characters also serve to pull back the layers of the dark and vicious assassin underworld sitting beneath New York's surface, and the world painted is vivid and captivating. Speakeasies and safe havens with their own form of currency, a level of aristocracy and a code of honor that hides the true faces of the most dangerous people in the world. It's all in service to John Wick's comic book-style fantasy and film noir-style class. All of this culminates in a conclusion that scratches every itch for action movie fare. A car chase that ultimately sees Wick using his car and his gun in tandem as weapons. A western-style mano-a-mano duel in the pouring rain. John Wick remains one of the coolest movies to do it. Slick, stylish, acted and choreographed within an inch of its life. A visual and auditory feast with delectable tactical carnage and a pitch-black emotional throughline. John Wick's story of vengeance starts small and stays small. Chapter 2 opens up the world of assassins and elevates the stunt set pieces, but keeps the twisted morality of our titular good-bad guy intact. The world surrounding John Wick is large and dangerous. His problems are deeply personal. After Wick settles the score with the Russian Mafia, his hopes of living out the rest of his life in retirement are dashed when one last ghost comes to haunt him. Santino D'Antonio holds a marker, a blood pact for a favor sworn by Wick as it was to get him out of the business. When Wick refuses to honor the marker, D'Antonio burns his house to the ground. As Wick watches all the physical memories of his wife crumble to ash, he agrees to carry out his favor, with the understanding that it is fucking on when the mission is complete. I don't know if I did the best job of explaining that, but plot honestly becomes secondary here on out in the series. It's going to be a lot of reactionary, holy shit, that was awesome, and yo, when he does this, and fucking, when this happens, and, well, you get it. But I'm going to try my best and explain why this movie works just as well, if not better, than the first film. First off, Ricardo Scamarchio is a phenomenal old-school villain. Dripping with slime and charm and good looks and good outfits, he embodies everything I love so much about the Eurotrash villain of the 80s and 90s. And you can tell he's having a ball in this role. All the returning characters are spot on and at this point feel like old friends. The new supporting cast is just as delicious. I could watch Ruby Rose's mute assassin tear shit up for the rest of my life and never get bored of it. Lawrence Fishburne is larger than life and just devouring the scenery. Fucking Common is so much fun in this movie. The drink shared between two rivals with mutual respect is one scene that'll stick with me forever, and it's not something you get in most standard action movies. It adds a level of depth to a script that is much more popcorn-y than its predecessor. But fuck, I love it when it goes full popcorn flick, too. The crowning set piece in this movie is when D'Antonio places a bounty on Wick and every assassin in New York wants him dead. The sheer tension leading up to it is wonderful, and the execution of watching Wick fight and shoot his way from point A to point B is super satisfying. And all of the great set pieces in this movie work like this. Watching Wick plan his exit route back through the Roman catacombs he's entering in is wicked because you're right along with him for the payoff. You know where every gun and ammo stash is, and you're right there with him when he needs to kill his way out. That whole sequence rules. The lighting and cinematography in the catacombs and the high table inauguration is top-notch. Plus, it's aided by more stellar La Castlevania music. The House of Mirrors fight is a clever gag on top of the gag of Wick only having 7 bullets when he comes to confront D'Antonio. This movie also explains a lot more of the world John Wick exists in without tipping its hand too much, which inevitably leads to the nail-biting conclusion which sees sacred rules broken and kicks off Chapter 3. As the bounty on Wick's head grows even larger, he fights his way through a league of unstoppable goons to get to the very top of the assassin underworld, the High Table. Chapter 3 has some of the craziest shit in the series in just the opening 25 minutes. A race against the clock, a throwing knife fight, a brawl with a book as a weapon, and a fucking horse chase. It's over the top in the best way possible and had me cackling at the sheer absurdity of it all. Then, the movie really hits the snooze button. Chapter 3 is still wildly entertaining and well put together, but is ultimately the weakest entry in the series for me, and a large part of that comes down to the middle third. I mentioned this idea of mysticism that permeates the universe of John Wick, and this is where it comes to its rather silly and uninteresting payoff. First off, I'm realizing I don't like Halle Berry that much, and lo and behold, her character is not very good. Secondly, the whole reasoning behind going to Casablanca is kind of stupid to me. It has a great tag team action sequence, but then goes into the weird spiritual journey where Wick has to walk through the desert to meet the Elder, and I don't know, I thought it was dumb. Thankfully, the back third is pure brain candy again. A sword fight on fucking motorcycles, gunplay in green and red LEDs, and Keanu being kicked through like 900 glass cabinets. Mark Dacascos is a lot of fun in this movie and is a goddamn powerhouse in the fight scenes. I like that this movie isn't too self-serious and is genuinely funny at points, but ultimately doesn't feel like a cohesive product, which is making it the most difficult to talk about. Like, you could just watch a clip mix of all the fight scenes in this movie and probably have a better experience. The pacing isn't good, and it really feels like the bridge entry to get us to the next chapter. Again, far from bad, would happily watch it any time, but the least interesting to me despite some incredible highlights. And that leads us to Chapter 4, the bloodstained conclusion to our anti-hero's dark saga. With the bounty on his head growing even larger, the High Table assigns a member of the Marquis de Gramont to finish him off once and for all. The Marquis commissions Wick's old friend Kane, a man who gave his sight to save his daughter, and a tracker known only as Nobody, to kill the Baba Yaga. Thankfully, the mysticism and spiritual journeys of Chapter 3 are kiboshed real quick in the beginning of the film. The script is a lot tighter, a lot more at stake for all the characters involved. The near 3-hour runtime barely felt its length as we get to know all the players in this warped game and how this could end for all of them. And at the center of it is Wick, more broken and miserable than ever before. With the weight of the world crashing down around him, he has to come to grips with the only way he'll truly get out. It's a deeply compelling narrative and truly feels like the culmination of every chapter. I'm reminded of the opening quote to Max Payne. Yes, I think about Max Payne fairly regularly. Quote, "They were all dead. The final gunshot was an exclamation point to everything that had led to this moment. I released my finger from the trigger, and it was over." End quote. This movie is a fucking rush. There's a few moments of setup for the narrative, but then it's off to the ass-kicking races. The set pieces in this film are the best yet. The Hotline Miami-style camera work framing dudes getting shredded with fire bullets had me creaming my jeans. The Berlin Club was a visual and auditory feast. And once again, as Wick tears through an army of goons with an axe and takes on Scott Adkins in a fat suit, we are treated to more gothy heavy bangers by La Castlevania. Coincidentally, Chapter 3 is the only one to not feature them on the soundtrack. I'm not saying it would have made the movie better, but hey, it couldn't have hurt. Every moment in Paris is wonderful. The Arc de Triomphe roundabout, car chase, and shootouts were absolutely intense, given that I've seen how fucking chaotic that roundabout is in real life. The stairs to the Sacré-Cœur were fucking sublime, and also had me laughing my ass off because, well, I think people falling down the stairs is really funny. Donnie Yen and Shamier Anderson are so cool as Kane and Nobody, respectively. I love all the gags created with their unique styles of assassins. The use of sound for Kane, Nobody's vagabond backpack being lined with Kevlar, just all the good shit. All the good shit, all the time. The finale of the film is simply breathtaking. The idea of the Western come to fruition. The hero's journey concluded. I'm going to end this review here because Chapter 4 is still in theaters and you should fucking see it on the biggest screen possible. In conclusion, the John Wick series is the result of absolute mad passion for action and thrills, made by people who have been in the stunt game for decades and wanted to pimp out everything they can do. A showcase of the human body in a neon-lit, blood-soaked dance of death. A combination of gung-fu lunacy and pitch-black noir delicacy. Their passion oozes off the screen. It is absolutely infectious. I'm more than happy I finally gave these all a watch. And that concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Bit of a shorter one today. If you have thoughts on John Wick or action movies in general, shoot us an email at monsters.midnight@gmail.com, midnight spelt incorrectly, or shoot us a DM through Facebook and Instagram. You can follow me on Letterboxd at letterboxd.com/MattFlamingo. I try to write about everything I watch, so if you want my takes on non-horror films, head over there. Until next time, my tender lumplings, I'll be back. I'm thinking I'm back.